CJ, can you put yourself full screen for a second for me, please?
Yes.
For tonight, we're That's going to talk about failure.
Good
old
TJ.
Failure.
You know what, TJ? Before Paul begins, I just want to say something. Don't you fucking start trolling this episode. Don't you start interrupting Paul a bunch.
Yeah. Can we get a 2011 TJ for this episode? Can you reach deep in your soul and pull out 2011 TJ, or are we going to get 2019 TJ?
I'm actually starting to work on 2020 TJ now.
Oh God.
Oh,
so
fuck,
yeah.
Dude.
What kind of monstrosity is that shaping up to be?
I took all the worst aspects of 2019 TJ.
Okay.
And I exaggerated them.
Oh
even
no. Oh,
and then
no.
I took whatever semblance of 2011 TJ remained.
Uh-huh.
Excised
hard,
that entirely.
You just removed it.
Purged
completely.
It. The last vestiges of what was good is gone. It's going to be absolute ass. It's going to be fucking tremendously awful.
Wow.
So,
let's put the name of your book, TJ. Absolute Ass by TJ.
That would be a cool book title.
Absolute Ass, yeah.
We should just do every show just on me, and you guys can just be like the voices in my head. I can just like put like a little Paul Devil on one shoulder and a little Scotty Devil on the other shoulder, and you can be the voices.
Eat
in my
healthy,
ears.
TJ.
No, I said devil. You're both devils.
I'm
an angel, dude.
Do I have a poker? If I'm a devil?
Sure, yeah.
All right, then I'm going to stab you in the fucking head with it repeatedly for the show. How
no,
do you feel about that?
Not.
Yeah,
no,
I am.
You're not.
Yeah, so what, are you going to tell the devil what he can't and can't do?
Give the devil
yes.
a do, TJ.
I'm not going to? Oh, okay.
No, you're not
going to. All right, we'll see what happens.
You're not going to do it.
Let's do it. I like this idea for
you're
a show.
You're not
so I'm a,
do it.
I'm a little devil that can torment you for eternity? Scream in your ear at night when you're trying to sleep?
You're not supposed to torment me. You're supposed to tempt me.
Well, I mean, you don't tell me what I'm supposed to do.
Dude,
I'm the devil.
You're not the devil.
You're
tempting
TJ will be nothing.
I'm the devil, dude.
Dude, tempting you would be an
devil.
Easy
job. Who are
job.
You to say different, TJ? Who are you to say different?
She just sees a fucking Twinkie. Should I eat it? Yes. Pop up. Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
Turns out it's got a dog turd in the middle instead of cream filling. Damn you, Paul!
I don't like where you've gone with this.
Dude, I like Paul's devil.
Anyway. We're going to hear talk about failure, so.
So let's talk very briefly about this gentleman, if you'll put his picture up. This is Clément Ader.
Clément Ader.
He was a French inventor. He actually was probably most well known for improving upon Alexander Graham Bell's telephone design.
Cool.
He was a telephone guy, an inventor.
So that's not a failure, Paul. You lied.
No, well, just you have to listen, TJ.
He's not a failure, Paul.
There is a dark spot
in
the history. Of
really?
Sir. Why? Well, I don't think he is a sir. Just Mr. Clément Ader here.
He should be a sir. I mean, look at that mustache. What an regal gentleman.
So he had a dream. And it was a dream that was shared by a lot of men of his time.
Oh, shit. I forgot. I'm supposed to play the official music of our show.
Oh. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
What is this?
This is the, me and Scotty were talking yesterday after you left.
Uh-huh.
And we decided to...
Polka polka!
Kind of liven the show up with some polka.
Yeah, people said it was too slow. So
some polka?
Yeah.
I can't work in these conditions.
No, we figured what's the least offensive genre of music that everybody likes.
This is not it.
That everybody likes.
Nobody likes polka.
Nobody likes... Everyone likes polka.
No, they really don't.
I mean, hold on. Let's just check.
Polka your eyes out.
Looks like I'm enjoying it. Let's see if Scotty's enjoying it. All right, let's see if you're enjoying it.
Ah!
I see a slight grin there.
So we're going to talk about some failures in war. And this is my favorite one that I ran across last night. One that probably could be a whole episode if we decided. But
really?
This is the time that Australia lost a war with the emus.
The Great Emu War.
Dude, I love this part of history.
Australia, you guys, you never
Australia,
live that down.
I mean, come on, guys. You guys talk shit about our country. And look, I know we've lost some wars, but at least they were real wars.
What war the fuck have we lost?
We lost a lot of wars, TJ.
What war have we lost?
The Vietnam War, TJ.
We didn't lose Vietnam.
I mean, you know, it's a disputed fact to this day. I think a lot of people would say we lost that war.
I'd say
we didn't lose.
What about the war for the hearts and minds of the Iraqi people?
Okay, we lost that.
Okay.
Thank you.
So the emu problem actually began in the immediate aftermath of the First World War when Western Australia changed emu status from endangered to vermin as they started to invade new agricultural lands in search of water. The settlers took the emus in their stride in the 1920s. However, by the 30s, it was just one problem too many. And by 1932, when a reported 20,000 emus, that's a lot of fucking emus.
Yeah, so what the, man?
Descended onto the farmlands, the invasion became a lightning rod for greater concerns. The lack of trust between the veteran farmers and the Ministry of Agriculture meant that the soldier farmers turned in an unexpected direction for help. They arrived on the doorstep of Minister of War Sir George Pierce. These veterans, understandably, vivid memories of the effect of machine guns on massed groups of men, so why not, they reasoned, use Australian machine guns on the birds. The GP was willing and ordered a number of companies to go out and get the and save the crops, and the farce began. So wow. I've got another
dude, fuck.
Picture here
fuck
for you.
Fuck these motherfuckers, dude. These fucking emus have lived in Australia for millions of fucking years, dude.
Yeah. So
these are the lands they fucking lived
on.
I'm
telling you. And I love that they won this, because listen to this about the emus. Yeah, yeah. I love it. The problem was from the very beginning, the emus proved to have considerably more acumen than their human and human opponents. Emus rarely formed into large groups, and when they did, it was difficult to predict these big groups
where and when they were going to
come together. There were some curious attempts to herd the emus towards machine gun nests, but these involved small numbers, and relatively few were shot, and even fewer were killed. So, regarding the reports that survived...
Oh, the emus fucking kicked your ass, bitch!
It says here that regarding the reports that survive...
Dude, it's like a real-life version of fucking Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote, dude.
Meep, 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 meep.
This author says that it was extremely lucky that nobody was lost to friendly fire in this war, from what he read about it. It was just like indiscriminate machine gun fire in all directions. And a subsequent attempt to kill emus involved mounting a machine gun on the back of a big truck and then driving it around in the outback after a group. Not a single bird was killed. Not a single...
Couldn't even kill one, dude.
No, listen to this. This is even better. Oh. Not a single bullet was ever shot because the gunner couldn't fucking get steady enough to line the gun up because they were bouncing around on the back of a fucking truck. And the only thing that happened because of this campaign was a stretch of fence was destroyed when the truck lost control and careened into it. So literally, they went to go kill a bunch of emus on their machine gun truck that they made and ended up destroying some of their own fence. And that was the only thing that they didn't even get a shot off.
What a comedy of...
Oh, Australia. This will never go away.
This sums up humanity so well,
though. It says the Acme emu hunting kit, you know? Mm-hmm. They fucking try to... I'm gonna get
these varmints!
It really is a wonder that no one died. It says here the best they ever did was they killed 12 emus one time.
The crown of achievement.
Out of 20,000.
One time they killed 12.
12, right. Twelve of the autistic, retarded emus like just wandered
and
up.
Then and then the machine gun jammed and they couldn't do anymore.
Oh, shit.
So the campaign was ended by a series of mocking questions in the Australian Parliament on 9th of November of the same year, when one member of Parliament asked whether there would be medals given for the campaign. A representative from Western Australia, A.E. Green, made the point that the medal should be given to the emus who had won every round so far.
That guy understands what's going on.
So he at that point, you know, obviously it was a national embarrassment and remains that way to this day.
If there is an A.E. Green equivalent in our culture,
we need
make him
now.
President.
Yeah, we need him now, please.
That's the guy who actually fucking just looked at this whole situation and was like, okay. Here's how stupid we are. Let me explain.
You lose a war against endemic wildlife, you're done. You know
I mean, like,
I mean?
That's humanity's specialty is fucking nature up.
Yeah.
And these guys, apparently not when we're trying, though.
These dudes, by the way, the zoo here in town has a pair of emus, and I spent most of the longest amount of time watching them. They are fucking fascinating to watch as they get about their fucking business and shit. They're great. They're awesome birds. You can tell they're smart as fuck. Just, you know, they're basically like dinosaurs.
Yeah. Well, I mean, all birds are, so.
Dude, I mean, but they are very close to, like, a raptor.
Yeah, they kind of come across.
Dude, they're just,
like
some really cool fucking animals. And, like, just looking at them, like, yeah, I can understand how they could be a nuisance. But, I mean, like, They have a fucking right to be there, too. Well, I mean, they lived there for fucking millions of fucking years.
They didn't prepare. They started making agricultural lands in a place where there was tons of wildlife that wanted to eat. And when they put up all this wheat and shit, I remember reading an account from this war where there was like, they would go in the wheat fields, right?
Yeah, sure.
And so they had this idea that they would, they were so coordinated. It was a great story. I didn't pull the text from it because I knew I'd just remember it. But they were talking about like, they would fire off a shot, and one head would pop up out of the wheat fields and look around, right? And they would take aim at it, 99.9% of the time miss, and then that second shot, 90 other heads would pop up out of the wheat fields, and they'd all run.
By the way, just for the record, the current conservation status of emus, least concern.
Damn.
Yeah, they're still doing fine. They've learned to coexist.
And they're pretty much... Dude, look at their range in Australia, dude. It's pretty much the entire fucking
country.
Yeah,
pretty much just Australia. I mean, yeah, their range...
That is fucking cool as shit, though.
I'll pull it up. Their range pretty much encompasses the entirety of Australia.
I mean, so they won, dude.
Oh, yeah.
They fucking won.
There was never a doubt they were going to win. I mean, you know what I mean? It was just over from the get-go.
And it's just crazy because they're very large animals. I mean, there's a lot of other species that have fucking just died out or their numbers have dropped rapidly, and I guess they're still doing all right.
This is called the Great Pangean Drum.
This thing, okay. Can you see there are Nazis on
the beach there, cowering in fear behind their guns of these.
I mean, like, yeah, if this thing actually worked, which I'm assuming because we're talking about it, it did not.
No.
But if this... I mean, like, if you were actually sitting there on the beach and some fucking flaming death wheel started fucking barreling towards you at incredible speed, I mean, how do you even surrender to that? That's just...
It was meant to soften the fortifications on the beachheads, and it was that exactly how it's portrayed here is how it was to be used. It was actually made to be launched from the water as well, so you could actually come close to the beach, launch this thing in the water, get it spinning, it would roll up on the beach, presumably, into the enemy encampment, destroying a bunch of shit, and then explode.
And look at it. So it was supposed to be rocket-powered, or what's
it's powered? Rocket, yeah. So it's okay. Rocket-powered. It's got a bunch of rockets all aimed the same way, all the way around both concentric wheels.
And does it explode when it
hits something? Yeah, so when it hits something, eventually it just, boom, the middle part there, the cylinder between the two wheels is filled with explosive.
That
so it was meant to
awesome, dude.
Crash into an enemy fortification and then just blow it to shit.
Fuck, dude. If they actually had come out with this, dude, that would have
made
it work.
They made this thing. Developed by the British during World War II as a means for clearing obstacles ahead of D-Day landings, the Great Pangean Drum consisted of a large drum stuffed with a ton of explosives, as I said, affixed to rocket-propelled wheels. The idea was to ignite the rockets from a platform at sea, and the angled rockets affixed to the wheels would cause them to rotate rapidly, launching the contraption at targets and obstacles on the shore, blowing them up, clearing the way to follow on for troops. The device was supposed to be developed in secrecy in order to spring it as a surprise on the Germans, but testing was conducted on a beach popular with vacationers, so the trials were witnessed by a huge crowd.
That's kind of dumb.
Pretty dumb. The design's flaw emerged at the first trial run in 1943 when the rockets were ignited and the device was launched. And you can go to the next picture if you want, TJ.
I'm guessing they could not control where it went.
No, this is a picture from that day. It does not look good. The problem, let's see, it caused it to careen wildly off course.
Right.
One of the rockets flew off. It proved impossible to get the rockets on both sides to ignite simultaneously or to keep firing simultaneously. After weeks of troubleshooting, the developers returned to the beach, this time having affixed a third wheel to the device to increase its stability. That test proved more embarrassing yet, as the device hurtled towards the beach, only to double back and turn to sea towards the launching craft. In the meantime,
I love it.
A bunch of the rockets had detached from the Great Pangean Drum's wheels to launch themselves at all the observers on the beach.
Of course. They did.
Whistling over their heads or exploding underwater nearby.
Jesus.
Returning to the drawing board, the Great Pangean Drum's designers worked out the
drawing
bugs.
Board. Yeah. Come on.
And
give it up.
Figuring that they finally had it under control, conducted a final demonstration in front of a gathering of admirals and generals, and I found a quote from a military person who was there describing what happened.
Okay.
At first, all went well. Pangean Drum rolled into the sea and began to head for the shore. The brass hats watching through binoculars from the top of a pebble ridge. Then the clamp gave. First one, then two. More rockets broke free. Pangean Drum began to lurch ominously. It hit a line of small craters in the sand and began to turn starboard, careening towards Klemanski, who, viewing events through a telescopic lens, misjudged the distance and continued filming. Hearing the approaching roar, he looked up from his viewfinder to see Panjandrum. shedding live rockets in all directions, heading straight for him. As he ran for his life, he glimpsed the assembled admirals and generals diving for cover behind the Pebble Ridge into barbed wire entanglements. Panjandrum was now heading back to the sea, but crashed onto the sand, where it disintegrated in a violent explosion. Rockets tearing across the beach at great speed. So this thing...
This sounds like a fucking horror movie, dude. Every it comes after you.
Literally every redesign of it made it worse.
It just gets worse and worse.
Klemanski didn't know what was in for him.
And then assuming at this point they decided, okay, I don't think we can control this thing.
This is
you know what the crazy thing is? I feel like with modern engineering techniques, this thing could probably be made to work.
Oh, yeah. I think they could make this work today.
Maybe.
I don't think it would actually be.
They would definitely be able to digitally trigger the rockets to fire simultaneously.
Yeah, you could have a computer program.
And, I think there could be a deal with timing better and stuff now, too. So.
Well, yeah. Obviously, the welds were failing at the same time.
A cool idea, but the hilarious results you see before you, certainly a failure, probably an engineering failure, I would call this one.
Yeah, for sure.
Like I would say also a practicality failure.
And just trying to
build something super complicated as like, okay, this is going to be a game changer. It's like they were just too ambitious.
If someone came up with this and if they had succeeded.
If this worked like
and
this,
created this thing, like that would have like, I mean, obviously that would have been awesome.
It's not a bad idea. It's just the technology obviously didn't exist at the time to make the necessary changes work.
I mean, even from just an intimidation factor, this is a fucking horrific goddamn monstrosity of a device.
Well, that's what it's supposed to invoke.
That would cause anyone to shit their pants in terror.
If it looked like this barreling up the beach. Holy fuck, man. Can you imagine?